That's honors. Honors is supposed to be tough.
It usually is, but this is a senior seminar, and so basically we read things and have discussions. So
basically enjoy yourselves, right?
I do have a lot of reading. I have to get done before that. Yeah. Okay. Do you like reading? But then
theoretically,
we're not going to have a final exam for computer architecture because we're all doing our presentations this week. And our final project is our final.
So then that one is completely done, right?
Hopefully. And then embedded systems is from 7 to 9 in the evening. And hopefully we'll all be done coding by then, but more likely what it's going to look like is everybody getting together and frantically being like, I can't figure this out, help me, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I got my master's side.
Really? Oh, I'm not even close to either side. It's ridiculous.
Well, interesting. Okay, well, today is dead week. I think I'll give you a break on homework here.
You're my favorite person right now.
Yeah, all right, and I guess since Friday is Friday, and maybe I should say, and for the rest of the quarter. Final exam Monday, is that right? Okay, well, we ought to start here. We need to think about a review for the final. You know, Hillary just needs one more thing to stick in her busy schedule. She's look at her book there, you can tell. So Carlos said he wanted a review, and it's probably a good idea. So... What time would fit your busy book there, Hillary?
Nope.
Is there a time? I mean,
well, if it's Monday or only day is Sunday, really.
Yeah, Sunday or sometime this week.
I can do Sunday theoretically after around 7:30.
Or
it's cutting it really close.
Thursday.
And it doesn't give you a lot of time to figure out things if you discover you haven't got them figured out by then.
I'm not sure about Thursday because I don't know how late class is going to run with everybody still frantically working on their code. And I have 4 things due on Friday.
Yeah, with embedded in the evenings, it kind of makes it difficult, doesn't it?
You can have a review during
What's wrong with Sunday?
That's true.
Yes. The only thing wrong with Sunday is that, you know, we do it Sunday evening. You know, you find out Sunday evening that if you haven't figured this thing out, it doesn't give you much time to figure it out.
What,
you know?
What lab are we doing?
We could not lab and review instead.
Yeah,
just a suggestion.
What about earlier on Sunday?
If it works with everybody, I mean.
It would have to be after 1, though.
I mean, we could also, I suppose, do it in class on Friday, if you want.
That works.
It's not a long time, but it's, you know, it would give you some kind of a thing. I mean, the only thing you sacrifice there is, you know, the computer engineers who aren't going to continue taking the class will maybe miss a little bit more material, but that's probably not. Yeah, I mean, there's always plenty to learn, right? Or we could do both, you know. I don't know. Much better. Okay. So if we do it in class on Friday, that ought to be enough to give you a wake up call that, you know, you're not ready, and then we could do another one on Sunday evening or something, huh? Does that seem reasonable? Would that work for Hillary and everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, so review in class Friday. Review in class Friday and Sunday. What time do you want?
I'm available at
7:30, okay. PM? Does that work for everyone?
I prefer earlier if it's possible.
You want to make it 7 or something, or then Hillary could come half an hour late and probably not miss too much.
I might even be able to move my meeting to earlier.
Yeah. Or do you want to do it? I mean, I don't know.
7:30. Earlier gives us more time afterwards.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand. Hopefully nobody has an 8 o'clock final on Monday, is that right? Anybody have an 8 o'clock final on Monday too? Yeah.
If I do, I think it's a counting, so I don't worry about that.
Well, yeah, but it means you don't get to study during that 2 hours, right? Which is not good. Okay, so let's see what we can do to finish off what we had done last day. I don't know how much we can get in here, but it's always nice to learn as much as we can here. Let's look at what we did last day. Okay, so here's a quick review. We had our feedback system, and we looked at what happens here in this case when we put in a waveform, the black guy, and then if there was a delay through the system, you got 180 degrees phase shift. Then when you subtract that, that becomes a 360 degrees phase shift, which is exactly what you need to make an oscillation sustainable, right? And you know, if you didn't get it from LNA, you'll get it in signals again. Every function can be made up of a superposition of sine waves, okay? So any kind of a noise, doesn't matter whether you think it's a sine wave or not, has a sine wave component in it, you know, most of them have sine wave components at pretty much every frequency, okay? But, you know, there are some that have, you know, just particular frequencies like just a sine wave, right? But those frequencies will make a little noise at that frequency, even if you just kind of ignore all the other stuff, right? And that little noise at that frequency will phase shift 180 degrees, and then that will be subtracted, right? And that little noise will that frequency will grow and grow and grow and grow. And some of you guys have seen it in lab. You know, I've seen it. You know, the little. You know, little fuzzy bubbles, you know, those are actually little, if you look inside there, they're little sine waves going like crazy. So it oscillates for just a little bit, and then it goes through the rest of the cycle, oscillates up here, and then oscillates down here, you know. And the reason it oscillates in different places is because your sine wave going in, the thing that's going up and down like this, is probably kind of rebiasing your transistors a little bit. And there are places where it's favorable for oscillation and other places where it's not so favorable. You know? So we looked at this thing. This was called the Barkhausen criterion, the phase being 180 degrees or negative 180 degrees and the magnitude of the loop gain being 1. Remember, it's the loop gain. You know, it's going around the loop. That's the important thing. So we did this example. You had to decipher the thing, and that's what it turned out to be. And I found the PDF of that, so that was right. And we looked at the Bode plot of this thing. Let's look at the PDF. It was the Bode plot. And we decided we wanted to compensate it by adding a pole somewhere back down in low frequencies to make it look like basically a first-order system. Because a first-order system, that means one that only has one pole, you know, then that's never going to oscillate. You know, the reason it'll never oscillate is because one pole only gives you 90 degrees phase shift, right? And any system is, you're never going to be able to make a perfectly first-order system. I don't care if you just take a capacitor and a resistor, you say, oh, this is an old-pass filter, an RC circuit. Well, you can't ever make that because there's always parasitic conductances and capacitances and all that in your circuit. And so there's really tons of inductors and capacitors in there. And so if you go out high enough in frequency, you will find other poles, right? So that's normal. But for us, it really doesn't matter as long as it's a first-order system until the gain gets down below 0 dB, right? So we looked at that thing. We talked about a thing called a phase margin and a gain margin. The phase margin would be, you know, how far below, when it goes through 0 dB, how far below or above 180 is the phase. I mean, you still got a little bit of phase left to go before you'd oscillate, right? That's the margin. And the gain margin is, when it goes through 180, how far below 0 dB are you? So, you know, we did a problem here. We said we wanted 45 degrees of phase margin. So if we put a pole back over here somewhere, we're going to get about another 90 degrees by the time we're over here. Asymptotically, one pole gives you 90 degrees, you know, in the high frequencies. So if you say you're right here, and that's 45 degrees, we add 90 degrees, that would give me 45 degrees left here to get to 180, okay? So we said this was the frequency where you wanted to go through 0 dB right here. So that means this frequency you go through 0 dB. So here's one point on my graph. And assuming this was flat up here, right, then I just project back at 20 dB per decade, and I ended up back here at a pole with 10 to the 6th. Remember that? It's 10 to the 6th radians per second. Now, what I'd like to do is we'd like to do two things. We'd like to figure out how to put that pole in. And I'd also like to plot the thing and make sure we did get our 90 degrees, right? Or 45 degrees, I mean. So let me look at octave here. So here's octave. I went and typed this in again this morning because I rebooted my computer. And up here, this is A. A was that 2 pi and whatever. That's the thing we did. So if I do Bode of A, we already did that before. You saw that. So what I did was I took A and I multiplied by 1E6 over S plus 1E6. That's where the pole location was, 10 to the 6th, right? So this, when I put in S equals 0, that gives me a 1. So it's basically just a low-pass filter with a cutoff frequency of 1E6, right? Radians per second. So I just added that on by, you know, cascaded that in. And I got this thing right here. Here's the AC, the compensated thing. It's a fourth-order system now. And then I did Bode of AC. And if I can find my Bode plot, is that it? Yeah, here it is. Okay, so this is the Bode plot. Here's the pole I put back here at 1E6. You can see it there, right? So if I go down to 0 dB, that's right here, and I come down here to that point right there, that's about 100 and, I don't know, I'm guessing 135 degrees or something.
Yep.
Which is about what I want, right? 145. What do I want? 180 minus 45. What's that? 135, yeah. So it's about right. And in fact, you can even do this down here. You can do margin of AC, I think. What does that do? Give me another plot. Yeah, up here it gives you the gain margin, and the phase margin is 47.3 degrees. Not bad, right? Does that make sense? So, you can see in plotted here too. See this? And there's the gain margin right there. Right? So it looks like the gain margin is about 10 dB. Okay? So now we know how to do that, you know, kind of the feedback stuff. That's the stuff you learn in feedback class. So now how do we add this pole, right? So we let's add the pole. So this is the example continued. I suppose we ought to take a picture of this thing here for the... for the note somehow, right? How do I do that? Maybe about like that. And you could see what I was doing. Octave.
We'll just upload that with the pictures from the notes. Just upload the PDF with that.
Yeah, I could. I don't know. Maybe that's just as easy. This is probably, I've already started this, so I just do it this way. This is kind of funny. Taking a picture of the screen. I could do a screenshot too, right? Okay, so anyway, we got that. Now, how are we going to do that thing? What are we going to do to make this work? So, we have our amplifier here. You know, this is A of S, right? Plus, minus, right? That's what we got. So, all we got to do is this. And this is the new thing, right? Yeah. Well, this is R, and this is C, right? I'll make this RO because it's going to be the new output resistance of the amplifier, right? Now this, I should say, this is not the only way to do this. There are zillions of ways to do this. This is just the simplest way, okay? And, you know, actually to understand some of the other ways, it would be helpful if we had number 3 down here because those other ways are perhaps better. I mean, actually, what we did here was probably not the best solution. It's the simplest solution. But the best solution would be to find a capacitance that was already in that circuit, A of S, and move it. In other words, instead of adding a pole back here, move one of these poles back. Then it would be better, right? Because the more poles you have, the less gain margin and phase margin you're going to have, right? I mean, it's just going to keep pulling you down, right? So if you could just make one of those poles dominant, then you would be just probably better off. But to do this thing, you know, you've done this thing before. This is the voltage divider, right? So it's 1 over SC divided by 1 over SC plus RO, right? That's A, it's not A compensation, it's the, I'll call it, I don't know. I'll call it C of S, so the compensation of S, right? It's the new thing we're going to cascade on, right? And so if you multiply by SC over SC, we get 1 over 1 plus SCR, which is in the form of 1 over S over omega 0 plus 1, right? And so that's the new thing, and if I multiply that by A of S, A compensation of S, A C of S equals A of S times C of S. Right? Does that make sense? So we fixed it.
What is the omega zero thing?
Omega zero is, I'm sorry, omega zero is equal to over equals or defined 1 over RC, R0C. See, 1 over RC, R, this is an R0, right? 1 over C, R0 is the omega 0. And notice that when S over omega 0 is much, much less than 1, this is approximately 1, right? When S over omega 0 is much, much greater than 1, this is approximately 0, right? So it's a low pass filter. That's kind of our old-fashioned thing we had there. So this is the new output right here. Any questions? Does that make sense to everyone?
So is that omega 0 equal to 1.26?
Yeah, that's 1E6. Omega 0 equals 1, or 10 to the 6th, right? That's what we did right there. Okay, so we did that. We finished that example. Now, what I'd like to do next is talk about the gain bandwidth product. Remember back in the first part of the class in the lab, we did this thing, you measured gain bandwidth product. Now that your last lab, you had to measure it again, you're still wondering what in the world is the significance of that gain bandwidth product. Well, what I want to do is I want to look at a situation like this. I want to look at a feedback setup where we have some, now that you look at this thing, you can see what this looks like. Dominantly, it's a first order system, right? All this stuff that happens out here, that's at high frequencies. We don't really care about that because, you see, we're only going to be able to use this thing over here where the gain is bigger than 0 dB anyway, right? So basically, we can ignore all the stuff over here, right? And right in here is what we care about, right? So, dominantly, this is a first-order system. So I'm just going to call this thing, I'm going to call it A0 over S over omega 0 plus 1. Because that's basically what it is after you multiply by C of S, right? And for all intents and purposes, it doesn't really matter, the high-frequency stuff. We're not going to get any gain there anyway, right? So, and then I'm going to put my... I'm going to put a beta on here, and beta is usually not a function of S. I'm just going to put beta on there like that, and this will be X out and XS and so on, all that kind of stuff, XF, XE or XI, whatever. And so you know that X out over XS, the transfer function, is equal to, well, it's going to be this thing. This is really A of S, right? So it's going to be A0 over S over omega 0 plus 1, that's the A of S, over 1 plus beta, now I've got A of S again, which is A0 over S over omega 0 plus 1, right? Agree? So that's going to be the new transfer function for this thing after feedback. I'd just like to look and see what that looks like. I mean, so... probably the first thing to do is to multiply by S over omega 0 plus 1. So that will give me an A0 over, and now this will be S over omega 0 plus 1. That's what the 1 becomes. And then I've got plus beta A0, right? Agree? Now the next thing I'd like to do, it looks like that's the simplified form, but I'd like to make this a little more complicated because it'll actually be more simple to recognize. So I want to change it like this. I want to have an A0 over 1 plus beta A0 on the top. The reason I want to have that is because that would be the gain at DC of this thing after feedback, right? So I want to divide top and bottom by 1 plus beta A0, okay? So if I divide the bottom here by 1 plus beta A0, that term right there becomes a 1, right? That's the big 1 right there. And then I have plus, now I've got this S over omega 0, but it becomes S over omega 0 times 1 plus beta A0, right? Move that over a little bit, it'll look a little bit nicer. And the thing I like that about that is the top here is now the gain after feedback. And I have this thing now in a new form of S over a new omega 0 plus 1 here, right? So I can look at that and say, aha, the new omega after feedback, omega 0 after feedback is equal to omega 0 times 1 plus beta A, right? So what happened is, when I apply feedback, I have to give away gain, right? But when I give away gain, I get more bandwidth. Okay, so there's one more advantage of feedback. By using feedback, I got more bandwidth, okay?
Does it matter if it's negative or positive feedback?
This is negative feedback. If it was positive feedback, this would have been a minus here, right? And so up top, it would have been a minus there, would have been a minus here, and yeah, it wouldn't quite work. I mean, nobody anymore uses positive feedback, so we don't even probably hardly think about these things. But yeah, it's a good question. But no, I don't think you would. My guess is it would get real peaky. Probably at one frequency where this 1 and beta 0 beta A0 canceled out, right? Then you would be in trouble or something. I don't know. It depends on how you adjusted the beta here. But nobody ever does that because everybody now, we can get plenty of gain. You learned how to do that. You did that in lab. You made an amplifier with lots of gain, right? Lots of other problems, though, right? I mean, stability problems, oscillations, all kinds of other problems, right? Yeah, I mean, that was what you found out, right? So so if we notice, we've got a new omega zero, which is better by a factor of 1 plus beta A. And the new gain, of course, is down by 1 plus beta A, right? So if I take the gain after feedback, A after feedback, that's going to be A0 over 1 plus beta A0. Maybe I should call this, A0 after feedback or something. You know, that's the DC gain right there. The DC gain after feedback. And I take A0 after feedback, and I multiply by omega 0 after feedback. I get A0 over 1 plus beta A0 multiplied by omega 0 times 1 plus beta A0, right? And that guy cancels with that guy to give me omega 0 A0, right? So the gain bandwidth product is a constant. It doesn't matter how much feedback I put in, right? So that's why the gain bandwidth product is very important. Because you can take the gain bandwidth product of an amplifier like this, just an op-amp, right? And you can tell what your gain bandwidth product will be after you apply feedback, right? You know, you say, well, the gain bandwidth product of this is, 10 megahertz or something, right? 10 million hertz and so then if you're going to do a gain of 10 or something, right, you can find out what your new gain bandwidth, your new bandwidth is going to be, right? So this is constant with regard to feedback with beta. Okay, it doesn't matter how you change, The derivative of this thing with respect to beta is zero. So the gain bandwidth product is, that's why they have you try and figure that out. Okay, so we did this thing. We can do feedback topologies, okay? Any questions before we go on? going to be pretty fast, but I wanted to have just a little bit so that all you computer guys that are going away will have just a tad more knowledge about how to apply this feedback to op-amps and what do you get when you do that. So if I get these pictures out of the way, then we can start on that. Yeah, Carlos doesn't want to be in the picture. Okay. So, let's do that. What I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to show you actually how you can hook up components to make feedback. Okay? So you could kind of, instead of just on the op amps, I remember when I was trying to figure out how do they come up with these op-amp circuits, well, my best guess at that time was, they just try things, right? Oh, we'll put some resistor here, we'll see what it does. We'll do that, right? And yeah, you could do that because they're pretty simple circuits. And maybe somebody did that, I don't know. But there's actually an organized way to figure out how to do that. So that's what we want to talk about. How do we do that? So there are four kinds of amplifiers: voltage, current, transconductance, transresistance. Right. So, let's do voltage amplifier. Okay. What that means is XI, which is equal to XE or whatever, is equal to VE or equals VI. Right. And XS equals VS and XO equals VO. In other words, it's voltage in, voltage out, right? Okay, so if you look at the little diagram that I just erased, probably shouldn't have, but here it is, this is VS, VI, VO. Got beta here. And this will be VF here, right? XF equals VF. Doesn't look like an F very good. Okay, so it's all voltage, right? So what do you got to do is you got to make it so that over here you got to be able to subtract voltages, right? And over here you got to sample the voltage, right? So the idea, we did this one kind of already. Here's your A, right? So that's plus, minus. So I sample the voltage out here. This is VI right here. VI. I sample the voltage out here by putting a voltage divider there. This is then VF. This is V out from here to ground. There to ground, right? And here's VS on the input. So here's VS. VS, move V out over here, plus, minus, V out. So, if I call this R1 and R2, VF equals R1 over R1 plus R2 times V out, right? And there's some gain here, and so V out equals AVI. This is A right here, so V out equals AVI, right? So this is like beta V out. So beta is this resistor ratio here. And you notice here that VI equals VS minus VF, right? So VI equals VS minus VF, right? So it all fits. Now, for a voltage amplifier, you want the input resistance to be what? Very large, right? And you want the output resistance to be what? Very small. Okay. So let's look at what happens to the input resistance and the output resistance in this case. Okay. So I'm going to move that up just a tad, put a little input resistor right here, RI. plus, minus, like that, okay? And what I really want to do is I'm going to make a little bit of a simplification here. I'm going to make my A network, I'm going to make my beta network perfect. The beta network on that one's not perfect, RI. Okay, I'm going to put an R out over here because in a minute I'm going to need to do that. R out. And so this is A, B, I. This is B, I. There's a current coming in here. I'm going to call that I, I. And basically... Yeah, right. Maybe what I should do is do this in two sections. I'm going to make a hybrid block diagram here, make it even faster here. So what this is this is V out, and it comes in here, goes into a beta block right here, and then what comes out right here is this is VF, and over here is this is VS, right? And now RI after feedback, that's what I'm after here, to try and figure out what happens to the input resistance when we do this. RI after feedback is going to be, this is RI before feedback, right? So it's going to be VS over II. You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have... VS is equal to VI plus VF, right, over II. Because VS, right here, is VI plus VF. Everybody agree? Okay. And VF is equal to beta. This is beta here, V out. Okay. And maybe I could write this as VI. Plus VF. What's VF? It's beta V out, but V out is, this is equals A VI, right? So it's beta A VI. And then I've got II, right? Okay, and then this is equal to VI over II times 1 plus beta A, right? Our famous factor, right? Yeah, doesn't that look familiar? Now, what's this guy right here? What's VI over II?
RI.
Oh, man. That's great. RI got better by 1 plus beta A. We paid 1 plus beta A in gain. We got 1 plus beta A in bandwidth. We got 1 plus beta A in input resistance, right? That's cool. And we also got 1 plus beta A in linearity and, you know, other things, right? Okay, So next thing we're going to do is look at output resistance. So I'm going to do a similar block diagram on this side for output resistance, okay? So I'm going to make a sum over here. Put my VS here, my plus, my minus. This is minus VF. And then this goes into, and over here I'm going to need one of these dudes. And that comes out. I've got a beta network here. I'm going to assume the beta network is ideal. And so this is going to come up, jump over there, connect on there. This is going to come up here and connect on there. This is RO. This is AVI. This is VI right here, right? So I want to figure out the output resistance with feedback. R out with feedback equals. So that's going to be V out. I'm going to call this I out. It's actually going back in, whatever, but it's V out over I out. It's going to be V out over I out evaluated with VS equals zero. In other words, I have to measure the output resistance. I have to turn off the input voltage, make it zero, and just look in, right?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess what I need to do here is look at what this AVI is. AVI is equal to, well, VS is zero, right? So it's A times minus VF, and this is a beta block right here. And VF is VF is equal to beta V out, right? So I guess I got to get I out. I out is equal to V out minus AVI over R out, right? So I'm going to put V out here. And I'm going to have V out minus AVI divided by R out. I just put R out. Oh, there. Is that all right? Okay, now equals, this guy come around here, equals V out R out over V out minus, now VI is equal to minus VF, so that's going to make that a plus, and I've got a VF, but VF is beta V out. So it's got A beta V out, right? Which equals R out over 1 plus beta A. Man alive, we got output resistance in the same deal. What a bargain. Right? So you ever wondered why when you do op amps, you never kind of worry about the output resistance, you know? It just turns out to be what you want. Okay, so this was all cool. We got 5 minutes left. We ought to be able to try and do the current one, but the transconductance and transresistance ones are kind of like half and half, okay? But I won't be able to do that in 4 minutes. Okay, any questions about this? I mean, just to give you a kind of a preview, everything turns out roses, okay? It's all great. Everything works. So, okay, current amplifier. Now, what's incredible is, you know, you start with an op amp, right? An op amp has an infinite input resistance and a zero output resistance. What do you want for a current amplifier? You want the opposite, right? With feedback, you can get that. So, it's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, so current amplifier. We have, you know, IS. We have II. We have, you know, the current here, the gain. We have I out. We have beta here, right? And we have this thing right here, right? This is minus. And this is IF, right? You agree? So here's our current amplifier. Okay. What I'd like to do is look at the current input. I've got to figure out a way to get... I'm going to put an op amp here to start with, okay? I'm going to have to figure out a way to get subtraction on current. Here's my IS right here. That's going to come from a current source right here, IS, right? And I've got to have, this is II right there, right? And this must be IF, right? You agree? So then I have II equals IS minus IF. That's this part. So I just figured out how to hook up the first part, right? Now I'm going to come out here with I out, right? I'm going to put my load resistor right here, RL, because the I-out always has to go through the load resistor. Now I've got a current coming out. I need to sample a little bit of that current and put it back in to make it IF. How do I do that? What kind of a circuit do I know? Current divider, yeah, because we did voltage divider last time, so this must be current divider, right? So we put that in there like that. Here's my current divider, right? It's, you know, and so some of this current here, this is going to be IF right here, right? Right? Uh-oh. It's going the wrong direction. What do I do? He's right. We'll just change the sign on this. Make that plus. We'll make this minus right there. Make that minus. And what happens? You end up with the gain here equals minus A over 1. And we're putting in, you know, this is 1 plus beta A, which is, it's okay, right? It's just going to have a gain of minus when I'm done. Is that all right? Okay? Everybody agree? So this is actually minus IF. Right? Okay? So, and I'm just going to put that to ground. And this is essentially ground right here because of the virtual ground, right? In other words, the voltage across here is going to be about zero anyway with an optic, right? So if I call this guy R1 and this guy R2, then minus IF equals R1 over R1 plus R2 times I out. So this is the minus. That's if I just do IF equals minus this, then I get this is beta. Okay. Is that right? In this case, no. I need to do it like this, and this is minus beta. Something like that.
Cool.
Okay, so now we got that. Now we got 2 minutes left to check out, like, at least the input resistance, right?
Sure.
Okay, so, or do you want to do the output resistance? We haven't got time for which. Which do you want? Let's do the input resistance, because this would be infinite right here, right? And it would be trying to change it to zero, right? Right? Isn't that what we're trying to do? That's a long ways. Okay, so input. So here we go. I'm going to make this hybrid diagram just like we did before, right? I guess this guy is going to be, I don't know. I can just do a general A. My general A is this minus A. My general beta will be, I'll just do this back to the standard thing. Okay. Hybrid block diagram of the beta network here, and I have to have this thing coming out here like this. This has to go up to this thing right here, the ground. This comes from the source here. IS, man, can I do this fast enough? This is IF, and this is II, and this is A there, okay. This is X out equals A, I, right? And this is IF. IF equals beta X out, right? I don't care whether the voltage or current over here, it works the same way, right? Okay, so here we go. Here's RI, right? Really big. So RI after feedback is equal to going to be some voltage here. I'll call this VI. It's going to be VI divided by what? II, right? Okay, can we do this? Okay. That's going to be VI divided by II. What is II? II is equal to IS minus IF, right? Oh, wait a minute. This isn't VI over, this is VS right here, right? VS, VS over, what is the input resistance after feedback? It's the voltage across here, right, which is VI, I guess that is VI, right? VI divided by IS, right? So this should be VI divided by IS, got that right. Okay, now, what is IS, or what is VI, I guess IS is the thing I want to do. IS is equal to II. IS equals II plus IF, right? You agree? This one plus that one, right? This should be, right. IF. Okay, so this is equal to VI. Over, I've got an II, there's one of those, and then IF is equal to what? Beta A II, right? Beta AII, right?
Yeah.
And VI over II is RI, right? So RI divided by 1 plus beta A. Whew! It got better by 1 plus beta A, right?
Yeah.
So you see, if RI was like almost infinity here, but beta A is almost infinity too, right? Right. So you make it smaller, right?
Yeah.
So if you got a lot of gain to trade off, you can turn high input impedance to low input impedance. And even if you look at this circuit, you can kind of see that, right? Because look at, this is ground. We said the voltage across here was zero, right?
Yeah.
So this is ground up here, right? And so it basically looks like I'm just, just putting it right into ground, right? I mean, it's measuring current perfectly, zero input resistance, right? Even though there's a gigantic input resistance inside the op amp here, right? Incredible. So feedback is incredible. I mean, it's just like wonderful. It does, we get so much for what we pay. And, like I said, all the other ones turn out good too, right? So anyway. Sorry I ran over Ted here. What's that?
More for our money.
Yeah, more for your money, yeah.
Quick question. I don't think I'm doing the math right with positive feedback, because I'm getting the same graph out that they did, except it's with 0.1 instead of 0.9. Like, when you have positive feedback on N, this is an F X of I or whatever, plus X of F. Or X of S plus X of F.
So in the bottom, you got a minus sign on the 1 minus beta A, basically, right? Because it's like you change the sign on beta, right?
Oh, so that should be a minus there?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think these should be minuses. And then that's going to make your gain. You should have something here that's like, this guy is going to really amplify the positive and still amplify the negative some, but not like the positive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to make the distortion a lot worse. In other words, before you had a ratio, positive gain to negative gain was 2. Now you'll have something like 10 or something.
Okay.
So you're right. You're doing some algebra wrong just because you need to change the sign on beta. Okay.